Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and on today's show, we'll get an update from the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing, and we hear the latest from the United Heroes League. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
We refer to the days between the end of summer and the beginning of fall as 101 critical days of summer, and for good reason. The statistics show us that as the seasons change and the temperature rises, the number of injuries to our soldiers and airmen also tick upward. During these 101 days, car accidents, accidental drownings, and alcohol-related injuries are much more common than we would like. A relaxing day out on the lake, a cross-country summer road trip, each one of these scenarios offers an opportunity for injury if we are not careful. As you enjoy your well-earned downtime this summer, I ask you not to forget the importance of safety. A few simple actions on your part prevent bad things from happening. Helmets, seatbelts, and life vests don't work if you don't use them, so please use them. Please be safe and smart as you enjoy everything this warm weather has to offer.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to get an update today from the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing, and joining me now is Colonel Andy Berta, who is the maintenance group commander with the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota Air National Guard. Colonel Berta, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
It's been a few years since you were on the show.
Yeah, it's, I think we determined 6 years.
Well, we've been on the air for 11 years, so you were at the halfway point.
Yeah, halfway point.
Glad to have you back, sir. I wanted to check in. Can you give us a little bit of your military career? How many years have you been in?
Well, Tom, I just turned 31 years in May. So it's been a long run. And I got commissioned in 1990 through the University of Minnesota Duluth up in the ROTC program up there.
And as I understand it, you spent a little time with the 148th Fire Wing.
I did. I was there for about 3 years.
And you left there and you did a little traveling around to some other organizations.
Yes, I did. I ended up getting on with the 130th Airlift Wing out in West Virginia, in Charleston, West Virginia. And I flew with those guys, C-130s, for just a little under 4 years.
And then in 1998, you decided it's time to come home.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity to be able to come back home. My wife's from St. Paul, so it worked out. And obviously, I'm from northern Minnesota, so it was good to be back in familiar grounds.
Well, welcome back, sir. And I digress here. I forgot to mention to our listeners that we have a co-host today, and he's the retired former Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard, Doug Wortham. Doug, I should have said that at the opening. My apologies, sir.
No problem at all, Tom.
Colonel, I understand that you've been deployed a few times, and I saw something in there that you were in Antarctica on, what was that operation down there?
Operation Deep Freeze, yeah.
Deep Freeze in Antarctica. I haven't heard of that one. What was that about, sir?
Well, that's a support mission for the National Science Foundation. They have airplanes down there that help provide airlift support for the National Science Foundation and their work they're doing down in Antarctica.
And how cold does it get down there?
It gets pretty cold.
I was wondering how you keep the aircraft, how you get them started when it's that cold.
We do
have to heat them up.
We do send quite a few folks down there. It's a annual type of a deployment where we have mainly maintainers like to go down there and work on the C-130s that they've got running those Science Foundation folks around.
Well, I'll bet that was a fascinating trip, sir. And you've also been to Kuwait and Afghanistan and on a number of trips. For our listeners, when we talk about deployments, we're usually talking about the Army National Guard, and they usually go as a large unit.
Correct.
But for the Air National Guard, you usually go in smaller groups and sometimes just individuals.
Yeah, that's correct. We the wing on a whole, we've got about 1,200 folks in the 133rd, and we can have deployments from where it's the whole aviation package, where it's a large group of individuals, most of the flying unit and most of the maintaining unit will deploy, and we can go all the way down to onesie, twosie deployments, and they can be all over. They can be in sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East. They could be down in South America, the Pacific Theater. It just kind of depends on what the Air Force needs.
And usually a shorter duration than the 1 year or more that we send here.
Right. We do go at a shorter duration. Sometimes it's the 6 months. It can always go down to approximately 3 months. And I have been on deployments as short as 45 days. It just depends on what the need is and how it's all broken up.
Sounds pretty civilized, sir.
Yeah, it is.
Compared to those soldiers, but we'll get to that a little bit later. We're speaking with Colonel Andy Berta, who is the maintenance group commander with the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota Air National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, can we go back to the basics here for a minute? Can you tell our listeners the 133rd Airlift Wing, what is it?
So the 133rd Airlift Wing is a group of, like I mentioned earlier, about 1,200 citizen airmen that operate out of the Minneapolis International Airport. So we're on the north side of the airport. We share some space with the Air Force Reserve, the Army Reserve, the Navy Reserve on that north side, just between the airport and Highway 62 there. And we've got eight C-130s. They're H-3 models, which are some of the newest H models in the fleet. We do everything from operate on a global scale to civil support to the governor and the country as a whole, other states if they need the help. So our primary mission is flying airplanes, flying C-130s, and getting those missions that the country and the state needs done.
And you've got an Aero Medevac package as well.
Yes, we do. That's one of the key organizations on base, is the Air Medical Evacuation Squadron.
Sir, we had someone on here a couple of years ago, and they were telling us about a soldier who was wounded in Iraq, and they were aboard C-130 that was operated by Minnesotans all the way from there to over to Germany, and then they were on the way home, so they got to come all the way back home. That's a wonderful service that you can provide on a really, I call it a flying tank. I mean, it's a big, tough aircraft, but you can modify it in many different ways.
Yeah, you can modify it. And in fact, just a little deployed anecdote for you, talking about an air medical evacuation mission. We were sitting on the ground, my crew and I were sitting on the ground in Kandahar, Afghanistan, and we were all of a sudden, the tower gets on and says, can you guys convert to an air medical evacuation mission from your cargo mission? And I told them, yes, we can do that immediately. And because there's another C-130 that was having electrical problems in back, so they couldn't have the air medical evacuation group put equipment in the back of the airplane. So we waited there for about another hour and a half, and we got another call that said, hey, we've got these critical patients. We need to get them evacuated out of here immediately. We're going to bring the critical care action team out to your airplane. They're going to set up. We're going to bring the two members. They were Army helicopter pilots, and they had crashed, and they were in pretty bad shape. And they came out to the airplane. They got them all set up. We took off, and we immediately went north, and we were going back up to Karshikhanabad, Uzbekistan, where there's going to be a C-17 waiting to transload them into a C-17 to take them to Germany in the Landstuhl, the big army hospital in Germany. And we got that mission done, and that's probably one of the most rewarding missions that I did, because it was something that we had to do immediately. Those guys were in really bad shape, and they ended up being okay. So that was pretty cool.
Doug, you were the Command Sergeant Major for the Minnesota National Guard, Army and Air, but you were in the Army for those 4 or 5 years that you were the State Command Sergeant Major. You got a chance to cross over and take a look at the Air National Guard. Did you learn a few things?
Well, I couldn't tell you everything that I learned, but here's what I can tell you, is that I had no idea the in-depth mission statement or set that the Air National Guard had. And it was just such a proud moment for me to be this Army guy, to come in, one, to be welcomed into the Air Force family, the Air National Guard family, and to just see that continued pride that you have in your mission. And then so much so that my son ended up joining a unit out at the 133rd, the 210th. So just a proud father moment as well. But yeah, Air Force, the Air Guard, what a outstanding and professional unit.
All right, thank you very much. That's we do take pride in what we do, and we take pride in being able to help out the Army, our Army brethren as well. So that's it's pretty neat to work together.
And it is great to work together. And we developed a lot of those friendships even before I started in my position as the senior enlisted advisor, but just learning and working together and realizing that maybe different missions, but a lot the same as it relates to the normal soldier slash airman care things that we need to go through as leaders in an organization.
That's true.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Colonel Andy Berta about the 133rd Airlift Wing on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host on today's show is Doug Wortham, and we're speaking to Colonel Andy Berta, who is the maintenance group commander with the 133rd Airlift Wing, the Minnesota Air National Guard. Sir, I got a couple of questions. You told us about the 133rd Airlift Wing, but within the wing, you are the maintenance group commander. Can you tell us how does that all settle out?
Good question. Translating between the Army and the Air, sometimes the way things are set up and the formations are can be confusing. But within the airlift wing, we have several groups. There's four groups in the airlift wing. There's the operations group. Those are the guys that are flying the airplanes, operating the airplanes. There's the mission support group. The mission support group obviously has all the stuff that we need to support the mission. So finance, we've got civil engineers, we've got supply personnel, all those types of organizations. And then the medical group, which is self-explanatory, and then the maintenance group. And the maintenance group essentially is the caretaker for the airplanes. We produce a flyable airplane for the operation. 50 folks in our maintenance group. I've got two squadrons, and one underneath me. And those folks are the ones that go out and actually wrench on the airplanes and get the airplanes prepared to launch.
So, Colonel, when you go on these deployments, whether they're 45 days or 6 months, your maintenance people go with and make sure that the C-130s are taken care of?
Absolutely. And a lot of times when we deploy, we do what they call rainbow. So we're with a different unit. We could be with the Peoria, the folks from Peoria, Illinois, who are the Illinois Air National Guard, or Kentucky Air National Guard, or the West Virginia Air National Guard. And so we'll rainbow together to fill all the positions needed and all the airplanes that are required for the mission and work together. And that's actually can be very rewarding because then you get to meet people from other parts of the country and really common cause there. So
and good. Your airmen from your group know those eight aircraft.
Oh, in and out.
And they know exactly what needs to be done.
Correct. Yeah, they work hard on those airplanes.
Sir, that's a very, very durable aircraft, been around for a long time. Seems like it can fly forever. But what is realistic? Is it 30 years or how long do you keep those going?
You know, the Air Force has got some pretty old airframes. Obviously, the B-52's been around, and they just keep modifying it. The C-130 is basically the same kind of a thing. It's a tactical airlifter that is a workhorse in the Air Force. We can go in the very small strips, less than 3,000 feet. We can operate all over the globe in all types of weather conditions. And we have the tactical mission, which could be airdrop or air land of troops and equipment. And we also have a strategic, which is transporting people over long distances and equipment over long distances. Longest flight I was on was about 10 and a half hours. It all depends on what you have in the back, how much fuel you can carry, and where you can go. So
it really is a workhorse. It can carry a lot of troops. It can carry cargo.
It is.
It can airdrop. It can medevac. It can do
everything, yeah.
Now, do we have the latest, the most modern version of the 130 here in the Minnesota Air National Guard?
No, we don't. They have come out with the J model. So we fly the H3. So the progression for recently was we had the E model, then the H1, the H2, and we have the H3. Our airplanes were built in 1996. 95 and 96. Now they have the J model. And the J model started coming off the line in the late 90s. And that is the next step for our unit is to acquire those J model airplanes to keep performing not only for our country, but for our state. And the C-130 is a great multi-role asset. And from a domestic operations point of view, from the governor's point of view, I know he really appreciates having that capability, and the states around us do as well, having that capability. So it's pretty important that we can continue to fly those J's in the future.
If we get the upgraded model, that means your mission is going to continue for a few more decades.
For a long time. And like you said, those airplanes are very convertible. They can be upgraded, and we can really fly them way off into the future. In fact, the C-130 has been around since the 50s, so you can see it's a very venerable airplane.
We're speaking with Colonel Andy Berta from the Maintenance Group Commander with the 133rd Airlift Wing on Minnesota Military Radio. And Doug, you had a question. You want to jump in here?
I do. And before I ask my question, I just want to point something out. You talk about the versatility of our C-130. I remember way back in the day going on a mission to Sotocano Air Force Base in Honduras. And the plane that we flew on actually had skis on it. And I thought it was pretty interesting leaving here in January on a plane that had skis on it to land in Honduras.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's the ski birds. They use those down in Antarctica. Yeah.
So, but what I want to know is, you know, we have a storied history here with our National Guard in Minnesota, specifically with our Minnesota Air National Guard. And I understand that there's a big milestone coming up. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what that milestone is and just share that history with our listening audience.
Well, we're pretty lucky in the state because we've got the oldest federally recognized Air National Guard unit in the country, and that's the 109th Airlift Squadron. It started out as the 109th Observation Squadron, and it was federally recognized in January of 1921. And so that's 100 years ago that two crazy guys got in an airplane, Garrison Miller, Ray Miller. They got in this airplane and they flew out to Washington, D.C. to meet with Billy Mitchell. Famous Air Force name there, Billy Mitchell, and plead the case that we need to have an air asset in Minnesota. And they signed the paperwork, and the rest was history. We were the first federally recognized on January 17th, 1921.
I remember one of the last trips I was able to take before I retired is out to D.C., and I went out there for the commemoration of the plaque that recognized that storied squadron. So that's kind of a neat thing. Now, are there any events scheduled? What is going to happen to celebrate this 100 years?
Well, we're hoping this year, because of circumstances, as we know, the COVID and the pandemic type things, the celebration that we wanted to have was not able to proceed. But we're hoping that within the next year, we can have something for the public to come out and celebrate with us. One of the things, if I can mention, is in the Terminal C at the Minneapolis International Airport, there's a large display about the 109th Airlift Squadron, Observation Squadron, and the 133rd Airlift Wing. And it's a beautiful display that the museum had put together that commemorates the 100th anniversary of our unit.
Sir, you mentioned Billy Mitchell, and I know over in Wisconsin there's an airport called Billy Mitchell
That's
Field.
That's correct.
I think up in central Minnesota there's a Miller Field up there too on Camp Ripley.
Camp Ripley, yes.
And you use that field at Camp Ripley. You go up there and they call them touch and goes?
Yeah, we do touch and goes. They've got a dirt assault strip, which is a unimproved gravel runway that we go in and we land on, and we also have a couple of drop zones up there that we drop our practice loads on to practice our airdrop mission.
Well, it's pretty handy to have that field up there, both for the 133rd and the 148th Fighter Wing.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because we were up there last week doing missions, and the two F-16s from the 148th came flying through and did a couple of low passes. So, yeah, we both use it. It's a great asset. It's a phenomenal facility, and we're really lucky to have it in our state.
Sir, we just got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, the last year or so, we've been told that the Minnesota National Guard's put in over 100,000 man days in support of domestic operations here in Minnesota, and that included your airmen from 133rd.
Yeah, that's true. We obviously answered the governor's call, like the Army National Guard did as well, bringing forth a lot of people to help support the domestic operations that occurred last summer. and into the fall. And then also this past winter with the support for the inauguration, we had airplanes airborne within 24 hours, and we hauled, I believe, almost 800 Minnesota Guardsmen out to D.C. to help with the inauguration. We had the most hours flown for support of the inauguration, and we had airplanes airborne for almost a week and a half constantly. It was pretty neat to see everybody pull together to get that done.
Sure was, sir. One last question for you, for our listeners out there, if any of them are thinking about joining the military and perhaps the Minnesota Air National Guard. You've been at it for several decades. What would you tell them?
I'd say that it's probably one of the most rewarding things you can do. You get to serve your country, but again, you get to serve your state and your local communities. And I think if you join, I mean, there's nothing wrong with obviously joining the Air Force or the military. You're getting to serve the nation, but there's a special bond that with a guardsman because you are local. You are in the community. You're able to support and help your community and the people in your state and the surrounding areas as well. So yeah, I highly recommend it.
So with the federal and the local or state mission, you've got a chance to take care of your friends and neighbors and relatives right here in Minnesota, and that your airmen must feel pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah. They love it, and they have that special pride, and that's why, you know, we exceed at what we do, and I think part of that is because we are local and we have the folks that really take that to heart.
Very good, sir. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to come visit us in the studio today and give us an update on the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Yeah, my pleasure, Tom. It's been great to see you again. And Doug, it's a pleasure to see you again. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your summer.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Andy Berta, who is the maintenance group commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing of the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to hear the latest about the United Heroes League. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Doug Wortham. In a moment, we're going to hear the latest from the United Heroes League. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Are you interested in serving veterans? Do you strive to improve the lives of others? A career with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs could be the right fit for you. MDVA is continually looking for qualified employees who want to work with our team. One person alone can't accomplish our mission. When you join the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you are joining a team that is committed to helping serve Minnesota veterans and their families. Whether you are a veteran, family member, or an individual, you can make a difference today by supporting our nation's heroes. We have full-time and part-time positions throughout Minnesota in both the Programs and Services and Veterans Homes divisions. To find current opportunities at MDVA, visit minnesotaveteran.org/careers. MDVA is committed to a policy of equal opportunity and maintains an affirmative action program.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Doug, I can't wait for this interview. We've had this organization on for several times over the years. It's grown tremendously, and it started out in one of your favorite sports, hockey.
Yes, it sure did, and it's great to welcome Guy Singh into the studio today. Guy is the Vice President of Special Projects for the United Heroes League, which he runs the Heroes Course, heads all construction and other projects on the property, and one of our favorite terms in a duty description is other duties as assigned. Guy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
It's nice to have you in the studio and to share an update about United Heroes League. But before we do that, can you please give us a little bit of a history about you, your military service? I understand you did serve for a few years.
I did. I graduated high school here in Minnesota, and right after that, decided to enlist and join the Army. I did active duty Army for 20 years and 9 months. And then in 2016, I retired and came back to Minnesota.
And what kind of assignments did you have in the military?
Well, my primary job was a Bradley mechanic.
Okay.
And then as time progresses, you get supervisory roles and then other training opportunities. So I volunteered to be a drill sergeant, was able to do that at Fort Knox for a few years. And thoroughly enjoyed that.
Well, that's great. And, well, we appreciate your service, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's talk about the United Heroes League. And, you know, what a great organization. Can you tell us, how is it that you came to get involved with United Heroes League and then get into the position that you're in right now?
Well, I was drawn to it because of hockey, and my kids play sports. I saw that there was opportunities to volunteer, and I wanted to be a part of these events that I was seeing on media, social media. And one of the golf events, the golf classic, came up, and there was an email that came out saying they needed volunteers. And since I had that drill sergeant background, they would like they wanted to have a drill sergeant at a hole to give the golfers a little bit of an experience while they're teeing off. And our relationship between Shane and I kind of grew from there. And I just continued to volunteer. And then after the obstacle course was built, he asked me if I wanted to be a part of the team. And so I did not hesitate.
I have to imagine that for those golfers, that was quite the experience.
Yeah. Doug, I'm getting a little nervous. We got a former command sergeant major and a drill sergeant here, both in the Army. Now, you guys be careful. It's a family show.
Well, then we better make sure we stay somewhat on script here, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk some more about the United Heroes League, and specifically I want to talk about the Heroes Monument. Can you give us an update on that, and really what is it and where is it, and how can someone be a part of it?
So the Heroes Monument is more or less a fundraiser for our organization to continue to support military children. The monument is going to be in Hastings. It's going to be in the shape of our shield. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be about just over 4,000 bricks, 4x4 bricks, 4-inch by 4-inch bricks that are going to be dedicated towards military personnel, to honor military personnel. There's the three walls. They will be approximately 6 feet high and 60 feet long. It'll be also visible as planes fly over as they're landing from or landing into Minneapolis-St. Paul.
We're speaking with Guy Singh from the United Heroes League, and I'm looking at a 3D drawing of the monument, and it certainly does look spectacular. And there's opportunities I see for military members to have their service highlighted on the wall, obviously, and non-military bricks are also for sale, and just a great opportunity for someone to have their name permanently etched on a brick into this great looking monument.
Yes. Each tile or 4x4 brick can be purchased for $200. That's the military version. We will have a wall that's dedicated to donors. So if you don't have somebody that is has military service and you just want to support our mission, you can get your family name put on our West Wall.
So, Guy, I want to ask a question. When I had Shane on the show some many years ago, he said they started out and they were trying to raise some money and get some gear for hockey for children of our military, and under the assumption that they maybe couldn't afford all of that gear because that stuff's expensive these days.
Yes, it is.
But I know that he's grown and grown and grown over the years, and the mission has grown a lot. And you told us off the air that you had a large supply of sporting good stuff donated to you recently. The scope of that is just huge compared to when he started.
I wouldn't understand what how he started, how small it was back then. But I can tell you what it's like now. We do have a warehouse that's full of hockey gear, and we get a lot of used hockey gear. It's gently used, and it's recycled, repurposed, so military families can continue to play sports. But we also have a pretty good partnership with Bauer. And Bauer has donated quite a bit of gear, sticks, pads, helmets, and a lot of pro apparel, the shirts, the hoodies, the sweatpants. So we have an abundance of that gear, kids' gear, adult gear, women's gear. We have it all.
How do the military kids go about getting some of that?
They just come into our warehouse. They make an appointment, come see us, pick up some gear. And then we have some clothes racks that are full of this, the clothing apparel that they could just take off the shelf and take as many as they want.
And as Tom mentioned, it started off really about this hockey equipment drive and the ability to provide to military kids. And United Heroes League is now far beyond just hockey, isn't it?
Yes, we do multiple sports. We have gear for softball, baseball, lacrosse, golf, basketball, soccer, cleats, shoes. We have an abundance of different varieties of sports gear.
And I think one of the neat things looking at the website is just seeing not only the different sponsors, but then also the professional athletes that have signed on to be stewards for United Heroes League or spokespersons for the league. And that's kind of be neat and interesting as well.
It is. We have great ambassadors that really support our missions from a variety of different sports. Very many from hockey, yes, of course. But we also do have ambassadors from the Vikings, from the Loons, and from Minnesota Twins.
Yeah. So we've got just about less than a minute here, and I do want to make sure we can touch on some of the upcoming events that United Heroes League has coming up. So if you could talk maybe specifically about Warrior Camp, what is that?
Warrior Camp supports 80 to 100 military kids at Camp Ripley. We will be doing this from August 1st to the 4th. What we do is they camp out at Ripley. They stay in the barracks there. They're bused to St. Cloud to get their ice time and dry land training for hockey. And when they're not doing hockey, dry land training, or ice time, they're outside playing games such as kickball, soccer, whatnot. And then in the evening time, we go back to Ripley and we have events like the we visit the museum, we have movie night. It's just a really enjoyable time for kids from the age to 18.
All right, perfect. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about more some of the other fundraising events that you do throughout the season. We are speaking with Guy Singh here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your co-host today, Doug Wortham, along with Tom Lyons, your normal host here in the studio. And Tom, we were speaking with Guy Singh here from United Heroes League. And before we went to break, we were talking just a little bit about the Warrior Camp. And Guy, we do want to make sure we talk about some of the fundraisers that you do, because this is such a great mission that United Heroes League has, supporting our military kids, providing the sports equipment beyond just hockey. So you just had a pretty large fundraising event, I understand, in June, which is called the Camel Classic. Can you tell us a little bit about that event, who was involved, and really what does this do for your organization?
The Camel Classic, yes, that is a very interesting, not your average day golf tournament. It's an annual event at Legends Club in Prior Lake. The event showcases unique military dynamics of various holes. One of the things you can do, or multiple things you can do, is shooting a golf ball from a military Polaris M Razor. You'll have drill sergeants on a par five encouraging you as you tee off. We also have we put a rucksack on you that's weighted, usually with 40 pounds, and you're going to have to putt with that. And then we had a really neat, interesting react to contact. That means enemy contact with paintballs while providing first aid to a patient. So
we're having golfers pay to come and golf and then participate in some type of a military activity, whether it was a drill sergeant. You alluded to that in the first segment, being able to put on that round brown and perform drill sergeant duties, and really just provide an experience for some golfers that want to support United Heroes League.
Yes, and then a lot of our sports ambassadors or pro ambassadors will support this mission as well. They'll come out and golf with these foursomes. And it fills up fast. So we got people that are wanting to contribute and be part of the golf event next year. So, and they're talking to us now about it. So it goes really quick.
Yeah, I bet that has to be just a great thrill for your supporters to come out and be able to, you know, play 18 holes and have one of their, maybe one of their professional idols be on the team with them.
Yeah, you never know if it's going to be Zach Parise or Dubnyk or, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It is.
So, you know, one of the, I don't want to say it's a fad because it's been around for a while now, but CrossFit has been something that really has been stepping up, and you hear a lot about it in the fitness world, the fitness community. And so I understand in September, there's some type of a CrossFit competition that you're having. What is it, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so Jake Taylor, who is an ambassador of ours and a board member, he is big into the CrossFit scene, and he wants to do a CrossFit gym competition out at our location in Hastings. We have about 50 acres out there. So on the 50 acres, we have a full-size 19 obstacle, military-style obstacle course. So there'll be running through the obstacle course on a point system, not timed, because we don't want to increase risk of getting hurt. Once they have completed, the four-person to six-person team has completed the obstacle course, they will conduct a one-mile run with the litter or a stretcher for non-military folks, and there'll be about 80 pounds on that stretcher. So you'll have four people carrying that stretcher and two people as security teams carrying air quotes, rifle. And that's going to be going through various military exercises. I'm not going to give it all up now, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be trying to get the patient to the first aid station or the hospital at the end of that one-mile run. And it's going to be including going up a 40-foot gravel pit at the end. It's going to be a very difficult and challenging course. Yeah, any questions?
No, I mean, I think it sounds like a pretty interesting thing and something that'd be awesome to observe. I don't know that I'm in the physical shape to participate in something like that now. But so obviously a fundraiser.
Yes.
How can people connect with United Heroes League if they want to either get involved, volunteer like you did starting off, or make some type of a donation to this great cause?
You can go to contact us on our website at www.unitedheroesleague.org. There'll be a contact link. You send us an email and ask us any questions that you have. All of our information is on that website as well, upcoming events, past events. So any questions you have, or you can just contact us. Our phone number is also on that website.
Well, Guy, we are out of time here, and I just want to say thanks so much for coming in, providing an update to us about United Heroes League. It's always great to see the new and interesting things that are coming up, and I wish you all the best of luck in future fundraising, and thanks again for coming in the studio with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
That was Guy Singh with the United Heroes League.
Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio, and good to see you in the studio. We haven't been in here for a while.
It's so nice to see you, Tom, and it has been a while to sit here and have the face-to-face conversation instead of over a video screen or a telephone.
Well, and it gives me the opportunity. You sat in on the last interview. I know you were smiling when they were talking about that obstacle course. You going to run out there and run that?
Well, Tom, my age starts with a 6, and my answer starts with an N.
We'll let the Sergeant Major do the obstacle course, and I'll stay home with you.
I think we should both support Command Sergeant Major where they're going and doing that.
We could go out together, Doug, and maybe watch.
I'll drop you off.
You can take photos, Doug, and we'll show those on the next show.
Roger that.
Well, let's get back to the pandemic. Minnesota Patriot Guard mission, your primary mission is to go to funerals of our veterans, those who have fallen. And over the pandemic, you shut down for a while, but then you started back up. I got the email this morning. That's more missions than I've ever seen in one email.
Well, we had 14 on the calendar through the end of the month right now, and more are going to come in every day. So we're back. You know, the families are coming out. You know, there was a lot of services held off from last year, and families waited for a while to have the internment services done. But boy, you know, the pressure on the members to show back up again, Tom, you know, we're there. We've got repatriations going on. You know, we've certainly have had some active duty escorts that we've been doing, but, you know, deployments that have been going on. And it's really, outside of the fact that there's typically a loss associated with this, Tom, it's just really nice to see us back in action and back being requested. I'm glad people are out. You know, they're feeling safe again to get back out and gather in groups. And, you know, it's our honor to be there. You know, it's not a duty. It's an honor to be part of that.
Doug, let's talk about your riders. I imagine some of those have drifted away over the pandemic. We might have lost a few. And now you've got a full mission schedule coming up. How can people stand up? How can they join you? Who should they be?
You know, Tom, it's civilian or military, active duty or veteran. It's really just, are you a patriot and do you have honor, dignity, and respect in your heart for the service that our military provides us, law enforcement, and emergency response people? You know, you go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org. Click on the left-hand side, join us, have an email address and a zip code, and we continue to feed you information. We let you know when things are going on. We'll make some special requests when they come up, and it's all you need is a 3x5 flag and a pole and a way to get to the mission. And I'll tell you, Tom, I've been at missions where people have come in on city buses and got off carrying their flag, and those are the ones you really appreciate because it was not just jumping on their motorcycle or not just jumping in their car or truck that day. That person put some special effort into making it.
And once you go to the website and sign up, you'll get the email I got this morning. And if you're available that day, you just go, look for the ride captain. They tell you what to do, It's as simple as that.
Yeah, when you click on the mission link itself, it gives you all the address information, gives you the time to show up, gives you the estimated duration, but it does tell you the right captain in charge for that mission. And always make sure you introduce yourself. Hey, it's my first time here. They'll team you up with an experienced member who's been there, done that. And you get a chance to really be integrated in with what we do very quickly.
And bring your dark glasses.
Always bring your glasses, Tom, because we've seen too many family members come out and express their appreciation, and we all end up shedding tears together.
Hide them a little bit behind those glasses. Doug, we just got a couple of minutes left. Your organization has participated in something called the Patriot Ride for many, many years, and your lead sponsor did a magnificent job of that.
Awesome.
But now you've had to reorganize and get restarted for next year.
We're looking at, in 2022, the gathering of the Guard for the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're working with the metro area Harley dealers on pulling that together. We donate about $50,000 to $100,000 a year to different military support charities in Minnesota, and we need a funding vehicle to make that happen. So we sure tried for this year to pull the ride off, but there's no venue to go to that can accommodate between 2,000 and 3,000 people. So July 9th, 2022 will be the Gathering of the Guard is what we're calling it. We're also doing, in July 17th, the metro area Holiday dealers are having a poker ride.
This year.
In 1 week. And they're going to be allowing us to put a table up to talk about the ride for next year, talk about our mission statement, and then also collect a few donations, because we're still donating the money, Tom, regardless if we bring it in or not. We've got a financial reserve we're going to draw down from, and we're going to make sure that our charities and our people are supported the way they need to be.
Now, if our listeners want to participate in the July 17th ride next week, where do they go for information?
They need to go to our website and go to the mission calendar, www.mmpatriotguard.org. Click on the mission calendar. Look for July 17th. It's going to say the Gathering of the Guard ride announcement. And then it's going to say click into that, and it'll give you all the information for the Harley dealers.
Thanks for joining us again today, Doug.
Thanks for having us. Good to see you both again.
That was Doug Bly from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Andy Berta from the 133rd Airlift Wing, Guy Singh from the United Heroes League, Doug Bly from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, my co-host Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minneapolis VA's mental health programs and meet Minnesota's strategic outreach team. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.